Welcome back. The third hour, known as the Big Hour, on the Todd Brommelkamp Show. It's brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement here in Iowa City, celebrating 14 years in business and their 12th annual tailgate underway at their location. A big thank you to Steve Anderson and his crew for sponsoring the final 60 minutes of our Fridays. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joins me as the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire continues until 7 o'clock tonight. High school football right around the corner. And joining us here at Coach's Corner, Scott Chandler, who was a very popular guest a couple weeks ago at the beginning of the season. And now the three of us reconvene 5 weeks in. And what do we think about the Hawkeyes at this point after watching five games, Scott?
I think it's kind of what I expected. You know, we're young on offense. I think, you know, there are a few games there where I was surprised that our defense didn't play as well as they have been the last couple weeks, and it seems like the last couple weeks they've been figuring that out. But, you know, the offense, I knew there were going to be ups and downs. But, you know, I think we've got a really talented group, and I think they're going to continue to get better. So I think the arrow's still pointing way up for the Hawks.
If you had to pick a couple areas of the offense where you think they're close or they can make the most improvement going forward, what would you say?
I mean, obviously the last couple weeks, or last week especially, the run game wasn't there. And that's the basis for everything we do on offense here at Iowa. You know, you get the run game going, and then all of a sudden the play-action pass is there. And then, you know, the drop-back game, it becomes easier that way too. So the running game starts everything, and, you know, they've got to get that going.
What are your thoughts so far on Brian Ferentz? I know we talked a couple weeks ago about a first-year offensive coordinator trying to get his feet underneath him still 5 weeks into the season.
You know, I've been pretty impressed. I've seen a lot of the shadows of plays we ran in New England. You know, the tight end reverse with Fant. You know, that was an old play that Aaron Hernandez ran, and you know they tried to hand it to me in practice one time, and it didn't go very well. So somehow, I don't know how we thought that was ever a good idea, but. I've seen a lot of those New England wrinkles, and you know, I think Brian is doing a good job. You know, I mean, it's a big jump to call him plays, but he's done a great job. You know, you got a young quarterback in there, and kid's done a pretty good job protecting the ball. You know, sans that fumble last week, and that's a big growth that I see, and I think they're doing a good job with him.
Last 2 weeks, I mean, it was painfully obviously, especially last week. They're putting eight or nine guys in the box and loading it up. But you guys have seen that stuff before. I mean, like, yeah. You said, it's a run-first offense, or the run sets everything up. Is there a way to loosen that up to get them out of there?
Yeah, and I do think they have the personnel to do it, you know, with easily in the slot there. You know, you can get quick little swing passes, or, you know, you get one block on the outside, and those are, you know, 10, 12 yards, or, you know, you got a guy who can bust it. So, you know, I think there are some easy completions on first down that start to get a defense just, you know, getting a little further away from the line of scrimmage, because you don't like giving up 6, 7 yards on first down. So I think that might be something that they could mix up, and we'll see if they do that. But, you know, I think that the game coming up this week will probably be one of those statement games where they just decide we're going to run the ball 40 times and see what happens.
Talking Hawkeye football in advance of tomorrow's homecoming game with the Illinois Fighting Illini at Kinnick Stadium. Former Hawkeye Scott Chandler with us at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub. A lot was made this week when Kirk Ferentz on Tuesday said that among the things that he looked back on Saturday's loss at Michigan State, he didn't feel the team was mentally ready. What do you take away from those comments?
Well, I mean, first road game in the Big Ten this year, right? Probably the first time these guys have a lot of these guys have been to Michigan State, and it's always one of those awe moments, because, you know, anywhere in the Big Ten in the fall, you get that kind of Rudy feeling going, you know, like you're on, you flash back to watching that movie or something, and, you know, you start to get awed by the setting and, you know, Big Ten football Saturday, and, you know, sometimes it can get in your head instead of you know thinking about football and all that stuff. And I think that's probably what he was referring to. I mean, that could be my only guess, is that they were a little distracted by their first, you know, big road trip.
Do you think he uses stuff in the media to maybe get to his guys to maybe, I don't want to say underhandedly, but just to say, you know, I'm going to say to the media that you guys weren't mentally ready. So, you know, so it's a point of emphasis this week.
My guess, knowing Coach Ferentz, and this isn't a slight to the media, is that he put it a lot less gently to them. I don't think he uses the media to talk to his players because he doesn't want his players to talk to him through the media either. Yeah. So, no, that doesn't seem characteristic of him. So I'm guessing he was much more direct with the players than he was with you guys.
What was the angriest you ever saw him get? Can you give us an example of that? Because I know there's been a couple times where the walls have been pretty thin on the road in some instances where we've heard some of the discussion in the log. Was that Penn State? What year was that where we heard some yelling through the walls?
That was like, that may have been 02.
Yeah.
04 maybe. Well, you were there for 04, right? The 6-4 game?
Yeah. No, he wasn't very mad in that one.
No, he was mad.
You know, that was right after his dad had passed. Yeah. And so he was, I know that was an emotional win for him. But, no, I don't remember him getting mad. I remember Robert Gallery getting mad and throwing a trash can into a locker and busting the locker up in Wisconsin. But, you know, Coach Ferentz is he's pretty even keeled most of the time. I haven't heard him get too fired up.
I think the one time I think, and one of the times we remember the most in the media, it sticks out to us anyway, I think it was 06 Northwestern where you guys were just really flat, and he came out and he said you guys may be fat cats, people are, you know, living on the success.
I tried to black that game out.
Sorry.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, no, I remember. Yeah, that was not a fun, man, that was a bad game. I could see him getting upset. I don't vividly remember it. I've had a lot of coaches who were yellers since then. So, I mean, you kind of hear those ones more.
Now, Iowa's an 18-point favorite tomorrow. How much attention did you guys pay to outside noise about being a heavy favorite in a contest? Or did you just not pay any attention to that and just focus on, Illinois could be the number 4 team in the country. They could be the number 50th team in the country. You just go out and play the game. Did you ever let that creep in?
So I didn't even know like what lines were in,
that's good,
in college,
by the way,
any kind of lines. But no, I didn't really start even paying attention to that stuff because I didn't watch much like ESPN or anything where they would talk about it until I was out of the NFL even. So, you know, I remember the Kansas City game on Monday night, you know, how they kind of backdoored into the over and everybody was making a big deal out of everything, and I heard some guy in New York he was on the radio or something, he got all mad, you know, he's like, the players have to know Jordan Reed didn't even try to tackle him, the players have to know that makes a, and I was like, no man, no, we don't pay attention to any of that stuff. I remember thinking we were going to beat teams soundly, but not because we were heavily favored in Vegas or anything, just like because that's what we should do. And most of the time you know what you should be able to do to a team. And if you're of the right mind as a team, you go out and do it most of the time.
Do you know if a team's struggling when a team's coming in like Illinois, it's not had a lot of success recently? Are you aware of that? And how do you keep from maybe taking them for granted?
Oh, you're absolutely aware of that. But, I mean, the older you get, the more perspective you have. So I had, like, it was easier to understand this in the NFL that, you know, if you don't play, you only get 16 games in the NFL. Well, in college, you know what, we have 12. Every opportunity means a lot. And, you know, I think that Coach Ferentz does as good a job getting that across to college kids as you could do. And so you do understand that each week is really important to where you go at the end of the year and where you go in the future.
If I remember right, I don't think you ever lost to Illinois, right?
I don't remember losing to Illinois. No. No, we didn't.
Yeah. Any particular memories from playing the Illini stick out to you?
I remember there were a lot of Hawkeye fans over in their stadium. That's about it. No, I remember Gallery flattening my guy Alan Ball on that screen. I remember that pretty vividly because I played with AB in Dallas, and I used to show him the video clip of it all the time.
That was 04, right? Was
yeah,
that at Kinnick?
03, I believe. 03.
Was it at Kinnick?
It was Gallery senior. Yeah,
I remember
Kinnick.
That one.
I think we scored a touchdown on the screen prior to Razor, and, you know, he just flattened the dude. It was awesome.
What are your thoughts on the two young tight ends and how they're coming along, Fant and Hockenson?
No, I'm really excited about those guys. You know, I think they've done a really good job of you know, it's not an easy offense to play in as a tight end because you're asked to do a lot of things. And, you know, Fant's even doing things that I didn't do. You know, I wouldn't split out too often, and he's getting split out a lot. So it's a tough gig, but, man, like, playing tight end in this offense is a lot of fun because it – and with the play action and stuff, you're gonna be able to catch a lot of balls. So I think it's a lot of fun because I was, you know, I always wanted to catch the ball. But I mean, you're also gonna get set up for some really, really cool plays. And it's tough. And those guys have done a great job early on. I've been really impressed with Fant going up and getting the ball. And man, he's so fast. If he gets in the open field, nobody's gonna catch him. And then Hockenson, you know, kind of seems like the. He reminds me of Henry a little bit, Krieger Koble a little bit. You know, a guy who does everything well, and you know, I think they're going to be fun to watch for years to come.
The Colts signed Henry.
Yeah, I saw that
yesterday. I think.
And I think he plays George this week.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
The tight end fraternity.
Yeah. Well, those guys are cousins too, yeah. So they, you know.
Another aspect that I think fans have zeroed in on is the deep ball. It's been there on occasion, and they just have not been able to connect with it. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that's – you just – it's the hardest ball to complete on the field. We got to understand that. You know, throwing to a post or something is a lot easier than throwing the fade, which I think is what we're talking about missing most of the time, right? You know what? It's just something that reps builds. There's no way to put it. They haven't completed them, and, you know, they hit one, and it becomes a lot easier. That's always the way those balls go. I mean, I know that as a receiver. You know, if you go up and get that first 50-50 ball, the next one seems like a 75-25 ball. You know, they get easier because you have more confidence. So they'll hit one, and then they'll be good to go.
Now, I know you're an offensive guy, but what are your thoughts of Josie Jewell and what he's brought to the field for the Hawkeyes?
He's the most – I mean – he reminds me so much of Anger. It's crazy. You know, just the way they fly around the field. They both obviously wear the same number, but, you know, he's a little bigger than Pat, I think. But they're just reckless abandon guys, and they recognize things so quickly. And, you know, they're both just great athletes, guys who can catch the ball, guys who, you know, can change directions really quickly and well. And, man, he's just really fun to watch. I think Jones is a great leader, and, you know, he's done a great job.
Is he going to get a shot in the NFL, in your opinion?
Oh, I don't see how he could. Yeah.
It's been a legacy. We talked about tight ends, but middle linebackers from Fred Barr to Abdul Hodge, you know, to Pat, to James Morris, to Josie Jewell. I mean, you think about.
Yeah, Klinkenberg in there, too.
Klink, yep. He did well. It's been a great legacy at that position.
Yeah. So, yeah, Josie's definitely carrying on that tradition pretty well.
What's it like at this point of the season where you got one more game and you know you have that bye coming up to get yourselves ready for that second half? What's kind of the – is it like a one-game season almost, this game tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't think anybody views it as a one-game season, but you have to really rein in the young guys right now because they start to see that bye week and, you know, this is their first exposure to college and, you know, they see that they can get complacent at this time. Oh, we got, you know, Illinois, they haven't been playing so well. So this is the week you gotta really pay attention to those guys. And as an older guy, you kind of have to help rein them in and keep them focused because it's an important game because losing going into a bye, that bye week, those bye week practices are long. So. You always want to win going into bye.
Sort of interesting this year that it's right in the middle, week six. We've seen it early in the year, late in the year. What do you think's the best time for a college team to have an off week?
Probably,
or is there a best time?
I always think that the best time in any time is later in the season because that's when most guys are banged up. But obviously, if you could time out a good injury, there's whenever a guy sprains an ankle who's really good, the bye week after that is the best week. But I think late in the season's always better, so you just get banged up guys back.
I don't remember if I asked you this last time. The Alamo Bowl, the touchdown against Texas that was called back.
Vividly remember.
Was that an illegal play when you look back at it?
No, and I still can't believe it was called. You know, they said that I, because I went in motion,
right,
and Drew was changing some protection or something, and so he's taking a little longer, and so I just sat down. I was clearly behind the tackle. I didn't ever point to the receiver to get off the line of scrimmage, or which you would do,
right?
Or, you know, the ref, the receiver would step back. It was playing Texas and Texas. That's what that was. You know, man, yeah, that one.
That was killer too, because that would have changed the whole complexion of that game.
We would have been up 21-3, right?
Yep.
And we threw a pick the next play. They went down and scored. It was 14-10. Right?
Yeah. Sorry to bring that up. I brought that up in the Northwestern.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we're
I'm Debbie Downer today.
We're ripping some scabs off. Well, that's okay, because if we're
talk
done
about Florida offsides next, right, guys?
If we're done talking about the Hawkeyes, I was going to ask you your thoughts on the Patriots. A lot of people were quick to bury them a couple weeks ago, and everybody said nationally, we've seen this from the Patriots before. Then I watched them last night, and if Nick Folk doesn't miss several field goals, they're probably under 500 right now. Are you a little concerned about your former team watching them?
So concerned and ready to bury them are definitely two different things. If you're trying to bury the Patriots, Belichick and Brady better be dead, because that's when they'll get buried. But, I mean, you got to be concerned. Now, the defense looked a lot better last night, so that was – I mean, that's been their main issue. I won't worry about their offense ever, because I mean, Tom can do it with anybody, but obviously, you know, Julian going down has slowed him down, and Gronk didn't play last night, so that hurts too. But they're gonna find a matchup that they like, whether it be, you know, in the past few years, it's been James White on a linebacker outside, and they have enough mismatches where they're gonna find something, or they'll go get somebody and make that happen. You know, Belichick's never afraid to go get the guy he needs to get.
I think Wadley. You talk about James White. Wadley, maybe in the passing game a little bit more, can get those guys out of the box.
I just think the NFL now, if you're a running back who can catch the ball, you know, Wadley's a little slider guy. I don't know. He might be more a third down guy.
Yeah.
But he catches the ball so well. If you can get outside the numbers, so many times you're going to get a linebacker on you, rarely a safety, but, you know, almost never a corner unless it's zone, and you're not getting the ball anyways. But if you can get man-to-man out there on a linebacker, run slants and goes, you can make a living as a running back, because those are big plays.
I've seen a lot of people comparing Akram Wadley to Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, who's having a tremendous rookie season. So
Kareem Hunt's got a little bigger legs on him than Akram
just a
does.
Little bit, yeah. And that goes back to the putting the weight on
but
issue.
But Akram's done a great job getting
there. What is Akram weighing?
He's about 190, 195.
Is he 5'11"? 6 foot?
Yeah, I don't think he's that tall. Okay. He's probably 5'10"-ish.
Yeah, another 10 pounds would do him some good, though.
And there's
he's
still
put
chances
on his legs too.
Yeah, he's probably still maturing. So,
but I don't. I mean, I think being a little scat back, third down guy is a pretty good little career. Look at Darren Sproles; he's made a pretty good, you know, pretty good career of it. You know, a little different guy there, but
you know, James White almost ended up here. I don't know.
Yeah, somebody was telling me that the other day.
Yeah, he. He visited the same time as DeAndre Johnson from Florida.
Okay.
They visited the same time.
Yeah, because they're both from Florida.
And there was one scholarship open, and right after the visit, Johnson took it. And then White ended up going to Wisconsin.
Wow.
A little history, the lesson. No,
I was going to say, Melvin Gordon and Albert Young, you can put together a pretty good team of almost Hawkeyes. Scott, we appreciate you taking the time to join us as always. Hopefully the Hawkeyes can get some things straightened out and turned around tomorrow, and I think Illinois is probably going to give them a good opportunity to do just that.
Sounds good. Go Hawks.
And the same for the Patriots, too, after watching that game last night.
Yeah. They're happy. Anytime you're done with the Thursday game, it's awesome. But getting ready for it sucks.
All right, that was former Hawkeye Scott Chandler joining us on the Todd Brommelkamp Show. We are going to take a quick timeout, and when we come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you, and then Rob and I will spend the final half hour looking a little bit closer at Illinois and Iowa, and also take you a look around the rest of the Big Ten matchups this week. 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show on KGYM. Back with more after this.
We alarm our houses and we alarm our cars. But when it comes to your personal information, it can be tough to know when something isn't right. That's where Discover Card can help. Now, we'll send you an alert if we find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. And this service is free for card members. Just sign up online. It's our way of looking out for you, not just your account. Learn more at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
Guys, get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season, like 505 regular fit and 501 original fit for $36.99 each. And check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at jcp.com. Hurry, sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last, some exclusions apply. Season refers to the time period from 9/14 to 10/9. See store at jcp.com for details.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Just shy of 6:30. Welcome back in the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show coming to you from Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. The 6 o'clock hour, something we like to call the big hour here on the show. A big thank you to Hawkeye Title and Settlement for our sponsorship. And don't forget, vote in our poll question at KGYMradio.com today, because once the first pitch gets thrown out in Washington, D.C., it's going to be cheating at that point, but we want to know how you think the NLDS between the Nats and Cubs will play out. Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question, and Steve Scalise, the U.S. representative who was wounded in that shooting earlier this year, getting ready for the congressional baseball game, throwing out the first pitch tonight at Nationals Park. So an emotional moment there. Cubs and Nats just about to get underway. Before we can talk about anything else on the program, including Iowa and Illinois tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium, we've got to send it back to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Here's Kyle Mann with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
There's a strange story making the rounds among the Cyclone faithful. Quarterback Jacob Park was rumored to have not made the trip to Norman for this weekend's game with third-ranked Oklahoma. And as of now, we know three things for certain. Park is not serving a suspension. Park was not known to be injured this week. But he was definitely not with the team when it arrived at their hotel today. Iowa defensive back Josh Jackson has been off to a good start for the Hawkeye defense, and today his performance was validated when he was added to the Chuck Bednarik Award watch list, joining linebacker Josie Jewell in the running for best defensive player in the country. He's tied for the lead in the Big Ten with 2 interceptions and 10 total pass breakups, and also has a blocked field goal. Iowa City West forward Patrick McCaffrey shocked the world last night when he decided to commit to play basketball for his father and the Hawkeyes. The wiry 6'7" forward from the class of 2018 is a 4-star according to 24/7 Sports, the top prospect in Iowa and 36th nationally. Zach Johnson's playing his second round at the Safeway Open right now. He currently sits 4 under par, 7 strokes off the lead, and the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders begin their season this weekend in Wisconsin. They'll open in Green Bay against the Gamblers tonight before making the short drive to play the Madison Capitals tomorrow. And tonight after the show, we've got a full slate of high school football. It's going to be Scott Unash on the call for Linmar hosting Prairie. That's on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And we'll have Alex Kuhn calling Marionette Clear Kikamana on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
We've had a lot of people asking over the last couple days about MLB postseason games and a broadcast schedule. The best thing I can do, because it's a fluid situation day by day, is direct you to KGYMradio.com, and we will try to get you as many of the Cubs-Nationals games as possible, including the remainder of the American League and National League Divisional Series as well. It's 6:31, a good time to step out and take a quick timeout. When we come back, the big hour continues as we take a look around the rest of the Big Ten matchups this weekend and take a little bit closer look at Iowa and Illinois, as we're just about 18 hours away or so from kickoff at Kinnick Stadium between the Fighting Illini and the Hawkeyes. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining me at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub. We get it all underway next.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. Then step inside and wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
It's time for some straight talk. Green, you love your phone, don't you?
I'm updating my fantasy roster on it as we speak.
But I'm guessing you don't love your pricey wireless plan, what with all the mystery fees and data overages every month.
Oh, you got that right.
What if I told you that you could keep that phone you love, but pay a whole lot less every month?
Well, I'm in.
With Straight Talk Wireless, you can actually keep your same phone, your same number, even your same network, but for a whole lot less than you're paying right now. It's kind of like getting a number one starting quarterback
for the price of a backup kicker.
Steal of the draft.
Bring your own phone to Straight Talk Wireless. Unlimited plans start at just $45 a month with nationwide coverage on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid AIR is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid AIR has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The AIR offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. Three environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
Welcome back in the final 25 minutes, give or take, of tonight's Todd Brommelkamp show, coming to you from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard, if you want to stop on in, they will make room for you. It is a packed house right now between Cedar Rapids Kennedy and Iowa City West High School football fans and folks that are hoping to watch a Cubs victory over the Washington Nationals tonight. That game underway, game one of the NLDS, and the Cubs batting now. In the top of the first inning, Steven Strasburg just setting Chris Bryant down on a strikeout. And Rob and I were talking during the break. Not much of a feel for this series for him. I think the Nationals are going to wind up winning, and we'll see how things play out. But they're not paying us to talk about the Nationals and the Cubs, at least not right now. We got a homecoming matchup tomorrow at Kinnick Stadium to break down between Iowa and Illinois. And this game is what it is at this point. I think it's made a little bit more interesting by Iowa's 0-2 start in Big Ten play. But at the end of the day, Iowa's an 18-point favorite over Illinois because Iowa's a much better football team.
Yeah, they have no business losing this game.
None.
On any level.
Which makes me nervous saying
right.
that because
and that's always concerning. I think it would be on the level of when, and that was an awful season, but 2012 when they lost to Danny Hope and Purdue at home, that was a low point. The Western Michigan 07 at home, that was a low point. Tomorrow might exceed both of those if they were to lose.
Well, I know the weather isn't going to be necessarily terrific. They are going to have about a full crowd at Kinnick Stadium, which hopefully will help with the atmosphere. But, you know, you look back in this series, Iowa has won 8 of the last 9 meetings. And that game last year in Champaign, which was the only road game I got to cover last year because I was dealing with the birth of my son and the aftermath of that. But
that's the game I bailed on you. I was going
to. Yeah, you were
going
to ride with
sick.
Me, and you made the right call. 28-0, and just not a whole lot to write home about for either team last year. You look at the last 3 meetings. Iowa has won 30-14, 29-20, and then last year they pitched the shutout.
And the last win. Or the only win was the 08, right? When Illinois.
Yeah.
Was Iowa's last loss that season when the kid kicked the field goal at the end to win it.
27-24, where everybody that had made the trip. There was a lot of black and gold in the stands that day. Just completely stunned watching that one. But Lovie Smith thinks that they can get things turned around in Champaign.
Time will tell. I mean, he's played 19 true freshmen this year, I think. Something like 76 underclassmen on the roster total. He's got 3 freshmen on his offensive line. I mean, he's certainly sold out for the rebuilding project, and they're right in the heart of that thing right now. So, yeah, I mean, time will tell if he's able to turn around. He's recruited pretty well. I mean, the guy knows how to coach. He's coached at the highest level. He's got a bunch of NFL level assistants on his staff. It's a hard place to win, though. He's digging out of a big hole.
The big story in Champaign, at least from the Illinois perspective this week, Jeff George Jr. Taking over the reins of the offense, but undercut somewhat by the fact that Lovie Smith says Illinois is going to continue to be a team that runs the ball. My question for you is, can they have any success running the ball tomorrow against the defensive line that Iowa is going to put forth?
You wouldn't think so. As I mentioned, three freshmen on their offensive line. They got very little traction against Nebraska. And if Iowa gets an early lead, which you think they would be able to do, then that kind of throws that running game idea out the window. He did also talk about the potential to play Cam Thomas, a true freshman quarterback who's more of a dual threat. And Kirk mentioned this week, too, that they're preparing that they're going to see multiple quarterbacks. So that kind of adds a little bit of intrigue into what we might see tomorrow.
Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining me as we break down Iowa and Illinois. We'll get to the rest of the Big Ten games coming up in just a little bit. Let's go back to Tuesday. Kirk Ferentz in Iowa City talking about a number of things that ailed Iowa in East Lansing a week ago. But I want to mention something that we talked with Scott Chandler about, and that's the fact that Kirk said the team wasn't mentally ready to play Michigan State last weekend. I find that a little bit inexcusable that you don't have your team mentally ready to play its first Big Ten road game of the year, but do you give them a little bit of leeway coming off the emotional loss to Penn State?
I think that factors into it. I think that was a component of it. And also, as Kirk mentioned the other day, because that struck me, and I followed up on it pretty quickly in the press conference, you know, why, what was your reasoning to feel like you guys weren't mentally prepared? And he talked about that first drive where Michigan State just marched right down the field. Was it 0-3 at Michigan State? You were probably there. I think Jeff Smoker was the quarterback at Michigan State. Iowa won the toss, deferred. Michigan State took it right down the field. And it was like a 17-14 final.
It would have been a great question for the guy who's at the bar right now because that was the game that his brother threw him the pass in the end zone.
Yeah. But I got that feel Saturday, Todd. I shot photos the whole game from the field, and it just felt like emotionally Michigan State was more in the game. And Kirk felt that way too. So, you know, for whatever reason, you know, 18-23-year-old kids, you have that sometimes. And I think you make a good point that Penn State game had to take something out of it.
We've got Stumpy's prediction, by the way. I always like to try to squeeze this in, but Stumpy, our listener, the Hawkeye super fan, he's on record 34-10 tomorrow. I said 30, I think, tomorrow in the Gazette. you'll read a prediction of 31-6 or something like that. Your thoughts on final score tomorrow?
I have 27-10.
27-10. What if we see tomorrow will raise red flags for you?
If they don't run the football.
If they don't run the football against Illinois?
You got to figure at this point, I think Illinois' defense has given up 1,100 yards the last 2 weeks combined, or the last two games against South Florida and Nebraska, and both of those teams ran all over them. So loaded box or no loaded box, Iowa's got to run the football.
How much of this, and I know we've talked a little bit about this last week when you were on the road, but how much of this has to do with missing James Butler?
I think it's a part of it. I think the part of it is that I think they'd like to use Wadley in different ways in the passing game, put him in the slot, throw to him out of the backfield. And we saw that earlier in the season where they were using Butler and Wadley together on the field at the same time. I got the feeling that that was going to continue and maybe even increase. And that with him going out, it's decreased the ability to do that. And now now they have to have the comfort level with the two freshman backs to be able to do that.
Let's head to the phone lines here really quick. Bring Sonny in Iowa City on board. 319-366-1600. Sonny, what's up?
Hey, guys. I think that this is a confidence-building game, and if you're going to have a confidence-building game, then you better have a balanced offense where you really feel like you can do whatever it is that you want to do. And so the run game is super important. I mean, if we can establish a solid run game where we feel like we have control of the offensive line, then it's going to open things up. And I understand that, you know, he's a new quarterback, but the poor kid is still overthrowing receivers. And so this is a chance against easily what we would hope to be the lower part of the Big Ten. So, you know, have one of those games where it's things should come a little bit easier. And so, you know, you're going to go into a buzzsaw for the rest of the Big Ten. Take this opportunity to, you know, really feel comfortable and get some confidence going in. I don't doubt that we were not mentally prepared for Michigan State. I mean, they ran all over us, and it was difficult to deal with sometimes. But this is a chance to get ourselves mentally back in line for a top Big Ten season.
Appreciate the phone call, Sonny. You can follow him, 319-366-1600. That's also the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line, and we'll get your text read on the air. There's not much more you can say about this game tomorrow, matchup-wise. It's just there's a reason why Iowa is an 18-point favorite over Illinois. They're the better football team. And
this is probably Iowa's easiest game, wouldn't you say? If you look at the schedule, Purdue's much improved.
Yeah, Purdue. I think that November 18th game at Kinnick Stadium suddenly is a lot more interesting. But you don't want to be struggling going into your bye week and then having to open up at Northwestern because Iowa has not played very well there. Minnesota, they lose last week to Maryland. They're on the road at Purdue this week. Who knows what to expect out of them. Ohio State and Wisconsin, you know what to expect out of those two teams, and then Purdue and Nebraska. So, yeah, as far as the low-hanging fruit on Iowa's schedule, this is it.
Yeah, and it sets up perfectly, as we talked about with Scott Chandler. You have this game, then you have the bye. You get your confidence going. You know, you get momentum going into that bye weeks, and then you're ready for that you know, third road game at Northwestern. Now you've got Iowa State, you've got Michigan State under your belt. Then you get those two games, Northwestern and Minnesota. This is a key stretch, Todd. You look at Illinois, Northwestern, Minnesota. If Iowa wants to win the West, they've got to sweep these three games. I truly believe that.
Hawkeye is an 18-point favorite, now down to 17 in Las Vegas against the Illini tomorrow. 11 o'clock kickoff on the Big Ten Network. We'll break it down for you on our FM frequencies beginning at 9 a.m. with Before the Boom. One other 11 a.m. game tomorrow, Penn State is at Northwestern, where the Wildcats are about a two-touchdown underdog at home. Indiana is the only Big Ten team playing a non-conference game this weekend. They added Charleston Southern to the schedule after the Florida International game was wiped out early in the season. Minnesota at Purdue. Let's talk a little bit about this one. It's a 2:30 kickoff on ESPN2. The Gophers lost at home last week to a third-string quarterback that Maryland was trotting out there. And Purdue, we touched on it a little bit off air with Scott Chandler, but Jeff Brohm really has the Boilermakers playing well in just about a third of a year on the job there in West Lafayette. And, of course, emotions are going to be running high tomorrow as they honor the memory of Joe Tiller.
Yeah, and this is it's a big game for both teams. I mean, Minnesota, if they want to do anything this year, needs to win this game. And Purdue trying to take a step forward. They got, you know, they played close with Michigan for a half and then kind of fell apart. So this is it's a huge opportunity for them at home, and I have no doubt with what Joe Tiller meant to that university. Unfortunately, they let him go in an unceremonious and probably a wrong way.
You retired,
yes,
with air quotes.
With Danny Hope as the next hope that didn't turn out to be much of a hope.
And I think a classy move by Minnesota. That term gets overused, I know, but Minnesota's also going to wear the Joe Tiller sticker on their helmets tomorrow to honor his memory. Maryland at Ohio State. Enjoy the win over the Gophers last week, because you ain't winning in Columbus. That's a Fox game. It kicks off at 3 o'clock. The other two games in the Big Ten tomorrow, the night games, are both really fascinating. Michigan State is in Ann Arbor to take on the Wolverines, who are a 10.5-point favorite. That kicks at 6:30 on ABC. And Wisconsin is at Nebraska, where they're an 11-point favorite on the road. You got to go a long way back in the record books to find a time when Nebraska was a double-digit underdog at home. At Memorial Stadium. Which one of those, that's a 7 o'clock Big Ten Network game, by the way, which one of those games interests you the most?
Well, from an Iowa, an Iowa perspective, obviously the Wisconsin-Nebraska, because whoever wins that game is still undefeated. If Wisconsin wins that game, they're the leader in the clubhouse by quite a bit for the West Division. So from that perspective, it's most interesting. But I'm interested in the Michigan-Michigan State, because is Michigan State back? You know, was last week's win against Iowa an indication that they're back? We'll find out this week when they go to the Big House. I like Michigan. I really like this Michigan team because they're defense first. Yeah, the offense is a work in progress, but I think it's getting there, and I like O'Korn as well. So, I tend to think that Michigan will win that game, but what's it, 11?
10 and a half, 11, somewhere in that neighborhood, especially in that rivalry, which is fishy, made me, when we picked this game yesterday, want to say, okay, I'll take Michigan minus 10 and a half, just because it seems like it's way too easy to call.
And what was the number in Lincoln?
In Lincoln, the Huskers are getting 11.
Wow.
At home.
Yeah.
And I see that being about a 28-20 type of ball game. Wisconsin probably wins it, but it's right where the number probably should be.
Wisconsin's clearly the better team.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
But, yeah, I mean, if Nebraska's going to make a statement this year, nighttime Lincoln, you know, the Big Ten West favorite, tomorrow night's the night. If Mike Riley's going to make a last stand, tomorrow night is it.
No Rutgers on the schedule this week.
And
we're
all going to miss out because
of that. Moving forward, I should say, Iowa has the bye week coming up next week. What do you expect? Obviously, it's a little bit difficult not knowing the outcome of the game tomorrow, but assuming Iowa gets past Illinois, what are your expectations that we hear from Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker most likely during the bye week? What will we hear from them?
That they've got a lot of stuff to work on during the bye week. You know, they're trying to pull some things together, looking at things they did in the first half, figuring out what they can do better in the second half. Probably a lot of coach speak is what I expect. But it'll be interesting to talk to those two guys, because not that Kirk isn't forthcoming. I think he is at times in his own way. But Phil and Brian are both more forthcoming, and they specialize on their sides of the ball. So I think we could get some interesting stuff from them beyond the coach speak.
As we mentioned, the rest of the month looks like this. The Hawkeyes go into the bye week and then travel to Evanston on the 21st. Minnesota comes to town on the 28th, and then the calendar turns to November. Ohio State at Kinnick Stadium, at Wisconsin on the 11th of November, and then Purdue at home, finishing up on the road at Nebraska. The Hawkeyes right now 3-2, 0-2 in the Big Ten. You and I were both 7-5. I said if they got bounces, 8-4. certainly looks kind of 7-5-ish right now.
I've missed one game so far, the Michigan State game. I had them at 4-1 at this point. I had them losing at Northwestern and winning at Michigan State. Maybe that flips around, but I'm still in that 7-8 range. And like we talked about, I think they've got to win these next three. These are the three winnable games in that division that they have to have if they want to have any chance to put pressure on Wisconsin and make that game when they go to Madison meaningful.
Yeah, and I think I had the same miss so far on the predictions. I thought they would go to Michigan State, but I thought Michigan State would look a little bit closer to the three-win team we saw last year. And I'm with you. A lot of people at the beginning of the season said Michigan was overrated and they were going to be a bust, and then people said, let's see what we get from Michigan State. So this is going to be a little bit of a proving ground game tomorrow in Ann Arbor between those two schools, and we'll see just exactly whether Michigan can continue to keep pace in the East as well. You got Penn State and Ohio State are 2-0 in the Eastern Division. Michigan, Maryland, and Michigan State all undefeated in Big Ten play. And then in the West, Nebraska is 2-0. Wisconsin is 1-0. And everybody else in the West, either 0-1 or 0-2, Iowa being the 0-2 at this point.
It gives ammunition to the folks that say that one division's a heck of a lot better than the other. And it'll even out a little bit, but it's clear Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, and then you'd put Wisconsin somewhere in there as the top four teams in the conference. And I'll be interested to see what Penn State does tomorrow at Northwestern. It's an early game. Northwestern has played them tough in the past. Penn State's definitely the better team, but that 14.5 is a big number.
6:52, we got to get our last break in here. But before we do, 319-366-1600. We've got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. It's going to be yours if you're caller number 6. 319-366-1600. Kyle will let us know who our winner is next. He's also got a Midwest One Big Board update on the way. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
When you're looking for a new pair of glasses, it's nice to have a pair of locations to choose from. That's why McDonald Optical has two Iowa City locations. Stop and see McDonald Optical in their brand new space next to Panera, inside the Iowa City Marketplace on the east side of town. Or come to their tried and true store on South Clinton Street downtown. Schedule an eye exam with one of their excellent doctors. And find your next pair of glasses at one of McDonald Optical's pair of Iowa City stores. McDonald Optical. Eyewear as individual as you.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Ames in Ely, the winner of a $30 gift card to La Cantina. LaCantina319.com is the website if you want to check it out. Not only can you enjoy delicious Mexican meals and icy cold margaritas, but you can also have them cater your next get-together, event, tailgate. Just an idea. Big thank you to La Cantina for providing those $30 gift cards all week here on the show. Let's send it back one final time to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Kyle Mann has another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
Iowa defensive back Josh Jackson has been off to a good start for the Hawkeye defense, and today his performance was validated when he was added to the Chuck Bednarik Award watch list, joining linebacker Josie Jewell in the running for best defensive player in the country. He's tied for the lead in the Big Ten with 2 interceptions and 10 total pass breakups, and also has a blocked field goal. Iowa City West forward Patrick McCaffrey shocked the world last night when he decided to commit to play basketball for his dad in the Hawkeyes. The wiry 6'7" forward from class of 2018 is a four-star according to 24/7 Sports, the top prospect in Iowa and 36th nationally. Now, there's a strange story making the rounds among the Cyclone faithful. Today, quarterback Jacob Park was rumored to have not made the trip to Norman for this weekend's game with third-ranked Oklahoma. And as of right now, we only know three things for certain. Park is not serving a suspension. He's not known to be injured this week, but he was definitely not with the team when it arrived in Norman today. Zach Johnson's playing his second round at the Safeway Open. Right now, he currently sits 4 under par, 7 strokes off the lead, and the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders begin their season this weekend in Wisconsin. They'll open in Green Bay against the Gamblers tonight before making the short drive to play the Madison Capitals tomorrow. Tonight after the show, we've got a full slate of high school football. It's going to be Scott Unash on the call for Linmar and Prairie on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. And we'll have Alex Kuhn calling Marion at Clear Creek Amana on 106.3 FM, the South Gym.
Thank you very much, Kyle. Another great job as always. And it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that Jacob Park situation with Iowa State. Right now, all we know is he didn't make the trip, and Matt Campbell told Tommy Birch of the Des Moines Register that he's not suspended. So we'll see when there's actual news to report, but he didn't make the trip. Iowa State, a 28-point underdog, now a 31-point underdog with Park not playing tomorrow. We'll have that for you beginning at 9 a.m. on 1600 a.m., the Cyclone Radio Network, as John Walters calls the action from Norman. Iowa State and Oklahoma. Iowa and Illinois, will break it down for you tomorrow on 106.3 and 107.5 FM at 9 a.m. It's Before the Boom. High school football on the way next.
Napa know-how.
Right now, Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil is on sale for just $4.29 a quart. Quality motor oil at an affordable price. A deal so good it practically sells itself. Which begs the question, what do we do with the rest of this commercial? Repeat the deal, I guess. Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $4.29 a quart. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 10/31/17.
This is Hal's yard as Halloween approaches, and summer's harsh heat has turned his lawn into a virtual cemetery. But Hal knows fall is the best time to feed his lawn and repair those scary thin brown patches. So he reaches for Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food. It feeds and replenishes